Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
Welcome to another edition of Beers with the Brewers, recorded here in the Kickstarter room at the Land Grant Brewing Tap Room. How's it going?
You're doing your best, NPR. It's like the Sweaty Balls episode on Saturday Night Live.
Aren't you going to introduce us all?
Yeah, that's Adam right there. And then Walt.
Merry Christmas.
You know Walt's got his salty badge he got back in kindergarten.
Yeah, it's blue ribbon for being salty saltiest award. Around.
Salty Walty.
Dan, what's up with you this week?
I don't have any ribbons.
He's a ribbons-free guy.
Got a Baird's Malt shirt on, though.
I do.
This week we're talking about beer crumbs.
Yeah.
Sure are.
It's pretty excited Christmas about time. That. Let's get a sip.
Yeah, let's get a sip in there.
It's slightly undercarbed. It's in process right now. Be back tomorrow. But yeah, not too bad.
Yum.
Well, tis the season. Our oatmeal raisin stout called Beer Crumbs
that
we're drinking now. And pretty excited to have back. We'll have this available in package in the tap room on Friday and on draft.
Mm-hmm.
It is raisiny, roasty, silky, and nutty. What do you guys think?
I think it tastes great.
I think those are great four descriptor words for this beer.
And full of festive cheer.
When pairing them with tacos and or chili, what about tacos, Dan?
I haven't had the chance to do it this year, of course, but steak fajitas with guacamole are very nice. And as mentioned on previous podcasts, I do have a penchant for Mexican chocolate, and that works really nice into chili. And I've actually done both of those for once.
And then kind of like a mole kind of a thing.
A third food pairing, this goes excellent with oatmeal raisin cookies, which we've done.
Oh, yeah. That's for dessert after that chocolate chili.
One time someone had made a oatmeal raisin whoopie pie for that paired with this as a dessert pairing.
Was that Kitty's Cakes?
No. The first time that we did that, Kitty's I think, did that as well. Shout out to Kitty's. They help support our tap room on Thursdays a lot of times with tasty treats. But it was Milestone 229.
Oh, cool.
We did a beer pairing with them, and their dessert was their whoopie pie, oatmeal raisin, ice cream sandwich or whatever. It was the best. It was so good.
Double shout out on whoopie pies.
You know, got a lot of good whoopie pie action going.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah, bake up a fresh batch of oatmeal raisin cookies when you get your six pack.
All right. So, events.
Is this in the Fear Garden this week?
Yeah, we're
still
here.
Still in the Fear Garden?
We're here. We finally made
Where's
it.
Where's the spooky sound effect? I don't have my soundboard, Mark.
Ooh.
There we go.
Yeah, give me...
In the Fear...
Hey, why don't you give me a little of that...
In the Fear Garden.
That scary voice for this.
Come to the Fear Garden.
So, oh man, it got spooky in here. On Saturday, we finally have arrived at the Fear Garden. We've got an all-day Halloween spooktacular going down. Starting at 3 o'clock, our friends from Bark Fox will be here for a dog-centric Halloween party full of dog costumes and lots of dog giveaways.
There's a whole box of dog.
Yeah, there's all kinds
chew toys.
Of spooky box of dog toys in the office just waiting to be given away to a bunch of good boys and girls.
We got
to
get Walt an exorcism. This is just ridiculous.
This is freaking me out. Okay, we're coming back to normal here. All right, I can feel the spirit leave. Okay, there we go. I'm back to normal.
That's quite a transformation.
Woo. Yeah.
If you were here in the Kickstarter, you would know that was scary.
Yeah, true haunting going on here. But yeah, 3 to 7, BarkBox is here. We're having sort of a dog-centric Halloween party, both to mark the Halloween holiday, but also the official enaction of the quote-unquote pups on the patio law. That is officially...
Dogs are legal.
It's officially just legal to bring your dog here to the patio, which is exciting. For all you dog lovers out there. And then sort of we're going to transition from the dog party into a human party at 7. Obviously, humans are welcome at the dog party as well. But we got DJ Sean Gleason and DJ Al coming. And we're going to do a big old Halloween costume party out in the beer garden. Tons of prizes. Amber and Kayla from the tap room have been working to put together some great costume themed prizes. So those are posted on the Facebook event. So go check that out and dress up and come down and party with us. So the whole thing's 3 to 10.
Is there a best human dog pairing like at the end of the bark thing? Or is this only... prizes only during the human event?
I think prizes are going all day, as far as I know. I know so. They're saving some secret ones.
Best dog.
Yeah, yeah. And then they're the published ones as well. So I think all day long, come dressed to impress. But yeah, what are you guys going as for Halloween? Dan?
I'm staying home. But baby Francis is going as a pumpkin, and Freddie is going to be a fireman.
Fireman Freddy.
Yeah. What are you guys dressing up as?
It depends on which party. I'm bringing back some classics. One would be Tim the Duck Irwin.
Okay. That's your friend.
At one party, and the other party would be Chicken Mark.
Oh, you're going as Chicken Mark from Gang Beasts.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Gang Beasts.
You could win that least effort award, maybe.
That's what I'm going for, actually. Yeah. I'm not much into the costume, so.
Our good friend Jackie Wallingford. Who just got married has asked me to be in a costume pair with her, and we're going as Prince Harry and Duchess of
Cambridge.
Sussex. What is it?
Yeah.
Duchess of Sussex.
Yeah.
Sussex?
Sussex.
Yeah. Meghan Markle. So it's pretty easy for me. Yeah. It's low effort. I have red hair and a beard and a crown.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to a wedding on Saturday, so I'm not really going to a Halloween party.
So you're also dressing up as
but
Prince
Harry. But it's a decidedly non-Halloween-themed wedding, so I'll probably dress up as that clown from It. I figured that would probably go
did
well.
Did they have to make sure they told everyone don't dress up for a wedding?
They didn't actually specifically say that.
The clown
so.
Is so disturbing.
But
I
you could
dress.
You could just spice it up a little bit.
Just
maybe
go
show
all
up
out
to
a Halloween style.
Yeah, show up. Well, at least show up to the reception afterwards in costume.
Mm. The bride, I mean, she seems like she definitely wouldn't care if I dressed up in a costume.
You're Dracula or something like that.
Yeah.
Because you're wearing a suit anyway, and then it's just like,
it's just a cape. And
it's me, Walt!
Yeah.
your face is all white and you got fangs.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'll probably really go all out this year.
What's Margo?
Margo is dressing as a unicorn, and she's been talking about it for 6 weeks.
Does she have one of those blow-up things that I see everyone?
No.
Like
I think Aaron's making her a homemade costume on the drive up to this wedding.
Okay. When's trick-or-treating in Clintonville?
I think it's on the actual Halloween.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Whenever that is, like Wednesday or Thursday.
It just occurred to me that I have no idea when trick-or-treating
is. Yeah, we
should
probably look into that. We both recently moved. So we
31st, right?
Well, not every neighborhood does it at the time.
Oh,
they should do it all on the same night. I don't cotton to no double dippers. That's rude.
Right.
Speaking on the Fear Garden, do want to thank everyone who came out to all of our trilogy of Fear Garden movie series. If you're listening on Thursday, last night, Get Out was the last one. So good kind of showing. A lot of people came out. Good amount of people last week in the wind.
Yeah, it's packed last night.
Cold
too.
And windy. Should
cold
be
windy
better.
Last week, but last night was a lot better. And man, that Get Out scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're but you still haven't even seen it yet.
No.
Of course I have. It's Thursday. Thursday freaking
it's
morning.
Thursday. No,
this is
like we record.
This is like
live.
The news. This is like the news where they try to tell you to make commentary.
I think that's one of the reviews they ran under the trailer, wasn't it?
Mark Richards just scared the shit out of me.
So, that will be coming back next summer, spring, summer, when the weather gets a little better.
Yeah.
And really the party on Saturday is the last official hurrah in the beer garden until the winter festival. That'll be getting more details on that.
But yeah, save the date on that sort of Christmas holiday event on Sunday the 2nd of December.
December 2nd. You got a few weeks to clear your calendar for that. Captain Beard Crumbs will be there.
Yeah, we're going to go all out. I think Santa Claus is coming. We got lights. We got trees. Hot cider. Trees. I don't know. A lot of these things are TBD, but we're working on going all out for holidays out in the beer garden.
Yeah,
maybe some snow. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see what Captain Beard Crumbs can whip up.
Could be a foot of snow on the ground. That'd be fun.
Enough of that nonsense, Dan. What do you think about these oatmeal stouts?
Well, so Beard Crumbs is kind of a tweener. A typical British oatmeal stout is a little bit lower in ABV and not as fruity as this. Imperial stout, or a Russian imperial stout, typically higher ABV, and you get more fruity esters from both the yeast and any type of higher Lovibond caramel malts you might use. But in both cases, you have it's in terms of hops, aroma, and bitterness, there should be minimal because you're going to get quite a bit of bitter roastiness from the dark grains, and you don't want to be competing with that. Anymore, you can find these year-round, particularly Samuel Smith's oatmeal stout is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, you see them a lot in the as it's getting colder outside. In terms of food pairings, as mentioned, stews, roasts, I think this and Beardy would go particularly well with spicy stuff. You got those oats and that little bit of sweetness that'll just sort of put the fire out. And also the sweets. Cookies, chocolate, not done that before. That works really well. So, in terms of where did this style come from, oats are commonly a food crop. The further north you go in the northern hemisphere, and Britain is the home of stout and porter. So we put those two things together, and oatmeal oats started popping up in beers. It was about the late 1800s, early 1900s, they started to try and, brewers were trying to expand their market. And so they started making sweeter stout styles and marketing them as a healthy alternative. And as
are they not?
Well, they are. We're not allowed to say that, but they are.
Yeah.
Maybe not allowed to print that.
I believe that's it, yes. But yeah, and so people started brewing with lactose and oats and making a sweeter, rounder stout. And those stuck around for quite a while, were very popular in Britain, and sort of faded away in the 70s with the rise of bitters. But as with most English styles, British styles, it popped up again in the U.S. As the craft beer movement started here. And then, it started up again in Britain, particularly with Samuel Smith's, I think, got him going. Beardy comes in at 7.2% ABV, 31 IBUs. Pearl, or Perle, I've heard both. Bramlin Cross.
I've never heard Perle.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Perle.
It's fancy.
Bramlin Cross and Golding's Hops and a whole bunch of malts. We'll just say that. Unsurprisingly, oats feature prominently, as well as a bunch of roasted stuff.
This was our first true seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
We might have mentioned on the podcast before. I think during the Landgren History 101, we talked about it. It showed up. Mm-hmm. We were going to a Winter Warmer Festival down in Cincinnati with the Ohio Craft Brewers Association. And at that point, we had only been brewing the first four beers on the board, the Son of a Mutter, Stiff Arm Greenskeeper and 1862 Ale, and
I think that was our first ever beer event too that we'd ever done.
Yeah,
because it was kind of early in the holiday season, and we opened in October. So
the pilot system at that time was my old homebrew 20-gallon system, so you didn't get much beer out of it. It was a lot of effort that it went into to get only a keg or two worth of beer. But our head brewer at the time had put together a really good recipe for an oatmeal stout for this Winter Warmer Festival, and we kind of started talking about it and thinking about, we wanted to steer away from the kind of potpourri Christmas ales, as I like to kind of say, the ones that
the Christmas candle and
it smells like nutmeg. You're at a Bath and Body Works and there's a lot of
cinnamon and nutmeg
and the other thing, I mean, there's a really popular and really well done one up in Cleveland with Great Lakes Christmas Ale, that why would you kind of do the same thing that they were doing? So we wanted to do something different, kind of felt that an oatmeal stout was not enough and thought what could kind of make that beer pop a little more, and kind of popped in my mind as you would give old Saint Nick a plate of cookies as he comes down your chimney. Why not look at adding raisins to it? So I'd never thought about raisins in a beer before. Didn't know if people ever did that, and did a little research, and some people had tried it in various type homebrew things, but the raisin flavor is not necessarily foreign to beer. A lot of Belgian doubles kind of get that raisiny
courant
flavor to it. So brought my wok in and bought a bunch of bulk raisins, a few pounds of raisins, and caramelized the raisins in a wok, and then we just added them and threw them in there. And that was a lesson learned, because getting raisins out of a fermenter, even the pilot one, they kind of bulk together. But the beer turned out really nice. It was surprisingly not too sweet. That raisin flavor really did complement that oatmeal stout, and brought that down to that Cincinnati Beer Festival and got a lot of great feedback from it. Ended up then brewing a larger batch. We have since changed our raisining techniques. I think we just add just pure raisins at this point, yeah?
No dry raisining anymore.
Yeah, there's
raisining.
Yeah, we just stick to the kettle additions. We thought that particularly since by boiling raisins, you're caramelizing them, which is essentially an oxidative process, and then you're opening the top of the fermenter and you're dumping in, you're introducing more oxygen. So as good as that beer was, it just never quite aged the way it should have. But I've popped a couple of the
last year's
The samples, and they hold up, so I think the switch is justified.
Kind of the other fun fact, this is probably the beer that has the biggest mispronunciation. We touched on this during the bartender episode, but more often than not, someone is going to refer to it as breadcrumbs.
Yeah,
but it is beard crumbs. The idea is Santa's eating that cookie and getting some crumbs in his beard. Mm-hmm.
It's an easy mistake to make.
My favorite's Bear D. Crumbs, as if, like, that's the middle initial D.
Another point of note, it is illegal, or I don't know if it'd be illegal, but it's against regulation, alcohol regulation, to use Santa Claus on your label. Just kind of that Joe Camel thing, similar.
Yeah.
You can't advertise the kids.
That's true.
So that's why
I think
that
there are some commercial examples that have Santa Claus, though.
There might be. There's like there's Matt Elf. I don't know that that's an elf on there. Yeah. I mean, come on.
No, you're going to have
splitting hairs here, but
children are frightened of elves.
The TTB will not approve. They will not approve a label with Santa Claus on it.
Interesting. Right. And do your research.
At the brewery, if you've been around New Year's Eve, maybe even, no, it was last year's anniversary party. Captain Beard Crumbs is who the label is fashioned after.
That's two anniversary parties ago.
Thanks to my mom, Denise, who followed a Santa Claus sewing kit pattern. We have a purple Santa suit, which is perfect. Captain Beard Crumbs passes out oatmeal raisin cookies
passes out.
Yeah, brings Beard Crumbs to all the very good of age over 21 year old.
Over 21 year old people that have been very good.
Men and women of the world.
Oh. Yeah. He'll be at the Christmas enchantment or whatever.
Yeah, the enchantment. Holiday thing.
Christmas enchantment under the sea.
Yeah.
Dance.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the Land Grant History 101, Quentin was on that episode, and I hear there may be a Santa appearance as well.
What? So
maybe Quentin knows him. He works with
him. Oh, okay.
Quentin told me.
He put in a call.
Yeah.
Okay.
Works closely with them.
Gotcha.
You know, as we're drinking through this, we went from August to basically November weather here in Central Ohio. If you've been following along for the past 6 or 7 months, you know I get very involved with the weather, and we're back into cold weather season here. And
sure are.
This perfect weather here now for a stout. Might not be Christmas season, but
I'm sure this in beer the holiday spirit.
This beer is drinking very nice right now, but very dangerous at 7.2%, I'd say.
Yeah, I snuck one out last night for movie night. Pretty good.
Oh, yeah? What did you think
might
of the
have
movie?
Had a couple of
what did you think of the twist ending?
I thought it was amazing. I'm glad. Well, I'm not going to. I don't want to do any
it's okay.
spoiler alerts.
Everyone who listens to this podcast has seen the movie before. So
I don't know that that's possible.
So why don't you explain
no
what
spoiler
happened
alerts.
Well, how many, Mark, were you able to have last night? How crushable would you say this
crushability, this beer is? And I'm going to have to tell you, I had to leave my car at Land Grant last night, but three. I'm going three on this.
Three on Beard Crumbs.
Three okay. on Beard
Well, it's 10-ounce pour.
Well, no, we're talking
we're
cans.
Talking about
we're
cans.
Talking cans. Cans. We've been through this. 2 ounces.
The crush,
I'm going to go two.
Crushability
we've
scale.
We've done this for like 6 or 7 months. I don't know if we changed the rules.
Cans
now.
In a six-pack. How many would you drink
six
in,
tankards.
A, in a session of drinking?
Are we talking 5-liter pours? Or,
in my defense, you said last night, but I will have to say, if they were in a can, I'll just have two then.
Okay, yeah, we did talk about this last night. Yeah.
Dan, how crushable would you say?
Probably two, and I'd fall asleep with the third and a plate of cookies on my chest.
Oh, that's good. That's better
sugar,
than milk.
Sugar plums
way
dancing in your
milk.
Head.
A fire burning in a movie.
You got to be careful with the fire burning, though.
What about your Yule log?
Well, like in the thing, in the fireplace.
Yeah. Cool.
And a responsible adult still awake around somewhere.
Yeah. Put it out. Yeah. Don't leave your fires. You how many? How
that's
many
a you're Captain Beard Crumbs comes to your house to put the fire out.
Oh, he's a fire captain. Is that what it is?
He swoops in on Christmas Eve after you've fallen asleep with the fire still going and puts it out for you to keep you safe.
He's a very responsible captain.
Yeah. This is a two crusher. It's not. I mean, it's a stout and it's delicious. But
two's good.
Two.
Hajir, what do you think? Beer Crumbs Oatmeal Raisin Stout Crushability.
Two or three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go two. Or three. I'm going to go two as well. So we're at 2.25.
2.25 this week. Suggested food pairings.
I think we've covered that,
haven't we? Well,
what if we did? What if I have to say, though.
What if you were down here, yeah, 424 West Town Street. And
all right, I got
wanna,
it. I got it.
Want to get some Ray Rays.
This weekend, Ray Rays is doing Ghost Pepper Ribs.
Shut up.
Oh, boy.
I think that would be a good choice.
I did not know this.
Nice spicy rib of Beard Crumbs.
Sounds
good. Set you straight.
I'll go with that. I'll give the old jerk trick and a rest for once.
Yeah. And it's
brisket would be really good with
cause
this though, too.
It's ghost peppers because it's Halloween. It's, they're peppers that have come back to life.
So Hans could eat the chilies, the ghost
he
pepper.
Could, like,
he could scrape eat the pepper.
He could scrape the seasoning off the rib.
Oh, yeah.
Onto his french fries.
Okay. There it is. Vegetarian pairing.
There you go, Hans.
Scraped off rib spices on your fries.
So, I wasn't on the podcast last week, but I actually ran into a couple of our loyal listeners and also
Brian Dwyer.
Loyal euchre players, regulars at the tap room.
Yep.
And knew we had a question that was read last week.
Yes.
And coincidentally was told Maggie was the one that had the original question.
Well, fortunately, she's the one that's reached out with a question this week. Now, I think we have to put a household limit.
How many
I
questions think per household?
You've reached the questions per household limit.
Two per household
limit. This is 2 weeks in a row we're looking out for
you guys. I can keep the questions coming. We're just almost out of t-shirts here.
Well, at least for that house.
Yeah.
We got plenty of t-shirts.
That's true.
But yeah, question is, hi guys, I have a question for you guys. If you could take one beer from another brewery and it became your beer to brew, what beer would you pick?
Mm. This is a super good question.
Excited, it's kind of similar to last week.
Excited for some Beard Crumbs. We will be in. Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie. Oh, Maggie, good news. Friday, get in here. Get some in you.
Yeah, you guys are both gonna. You can pick up both your shirts.
Pick up two shirts.
Two shirts.
Drink up all the or two Beard Crumbs responsibly.
So the
2.25
question last week being, what beer would you drink if it was the only beer you could drink for the rest of time, right?
Yeah.
And so this week it is, what beer would we have liked to have come up with the recipe that we could claim as our own?
I'm still working on last week, so it was so hard.
Yeah, I sort of read it as if you were going to take on a beer, an existing beer, and like take it on and assumingly inherit all of the sales and everything that go with it.
Oh, Bud Light.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm greedy. No.
Okay.
Dan, well, I'll let you take
start with the actual
on.
Brewer in the room.
I say I took it as, you know, being the beer that you would actually have to brew and you make, because I brew and make beer. So I went with, probably thinking about this way too much, but Cantillon Iris, because it's cool and I get to use a cool ship.
The whole process,
But it's not turbid mashed like the rest of their lambics, which is a big pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And they use fresh hops. Twice, actually. They use it in the boil and in the barrel.
And most of the hops that they use there have been stored in the attic for years on end.
Yes. They only do that half and half on Iris, and the other half is fresh. But
that's cool.
And they only brew it once a year. So there you go.
That's a very good pick, Dan.
Where, you only got to work once a year. That's pretty good.
So this is basically equating to holiday pay. Let's see where this is going. I think it was the beer pick. That's a great pick, Dan.
What do you think? Well, if you were to brew,
or
I Greenskeeper,
guess if Land Grant would,
what's
would
the most
brew beer?
Foolproof beer that you can make? I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an answer for this question.
You still don't have to brew it personally, Dan. You can brew it.
Yeah, you can have brew it.
I don't know. I don't know.
All right, Walt's fired from the podcast. This will be his last week on here.
I'll think about it while you guys answer.
It's bad enough he was possessed by the devil.
It's ugly out there.
It's ugly out there.
It's ugly out
there. I didn't prepare for this question. I read it and I forgot about it.
Mark?
I'm going with Triple Karma Light from Brewery Bastilles. Just because I absolutely freaking love that beer and we don't brew anything similar here. I would love to see a really good triple come out of this brewery at some point in time, be it small batch or otherwise, but one of my favorite beers, love it.
Yeah, I'm going to be redundant. I think I've said it before, but I really love the complexity of Orval and think playing with the Brett that's not too overpowering on it. And so we're all going to Belgium. We don't make many Belgian beers, but that's an aspiration.
Yeah, everybody exactly. But we Walt, and he lost his ticket.
Yeah.
So you had to have a passport, Walt. Looks like you're out, brother.
That's fine. Got my Wednesdays cleared up now.
Which actually, I think that's what inspired the folks over at Goose Island originally was Orval is what their first foray into commercially making Belgian style beers was Matilda, which was their homage to Orval. Not saying that's the path that we're looking to go down.
Let's all go to Belgium.
No, I think that it's definitely a style I emulated in my homebrewing days and really enjoy drinking that beer too.
And just about impossible to reproduce.
Yeah. They know what they're doing. All right, well, I dragged it on. You even gave a little story. What would you make?
Greenskeeper.
I would make
pumpkin.
I don't know. Like pumpkin one of those beer. Crazy sour beers that's super fruited or something. I don't know. That seems like fun. Like a... I don't know. One of those brewery beers.
Well, you're not looking very good right now.
What? I know.
I stumped by this question, man.
What? Uh-oh, I think Walt's possessed again.
Oh, no.
The fear garden is upon us.
Man, the question killed me. I'm back as a ghost.
Oh, man. Exorcism. We need an exorcism.
The question took me down.
Oh, boy.
I don't know, man.
What else we got?
Thank God you're back.
Guinness.
All right, Guinness. Good deal. Nailed it.
Which is fortuitous because we are brewing our dry Irish stout next week, in fact.
True story.
Fancy old brewery.
Going to get some of that nitro back on the board. I'm excited for that. Yeah. Well, hey, thanks, Maggie. May your household come down here and rake in some t-shirts. Anybody else has a question?
75%.
Shoot it on over.
Facebook?
Instas?
Yeah. Cheers at langrandbrewing.com.
Yeah, Twitter, I guess, too.
Call Walt.
Or just run into us at the beer stoop. You asked me a question, but still email that in.
Email it in.
Especially if you run into Adam. Yeah, if you run into me at the beer stoop,
there's a good chance he'll never
up,
remember that question.
Yeah.
It'll be post-game.
Post-game.
We don't want to talk about games right now, for sure. I noticed Chris started wearing his Purdue hat this week, though.
Yeah, first time I've ever seen him wear a Purdue hat.
Yeah, it's weird. Jumping on the bandwagon.
It's fine. Guys. He didn't choose his college based on his football team, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He sure is proud of him this week, though.
That was smart. To his house. Speaking of bandwagon, I hear that's coming back.
Woo, pretty excited. Jumping on that bandwagon.
New recipe bandwagon.
hazy IPA, if you don't recall.
Yeah, we're still the same style this year. You'll see that in a nice purple and gold as we're all jumping on the Lakers bandwagon to support our Ohio boy, LeBron James. I've actually seen a lot of purple and gold. I was surprised how quickly so many Lakers jerseys I've seen around.
Everybody jumping on a bandwagon.
I'm surprised grown adults are wearing basketball jerseys.
So I went little, I was visiting my sister in Charlotte, and we were at Carowinds, which is their amusement park, kind of like Cedar Point or Kings Island, and which is always great people watching. But there was a whole family, a family of five, that the mom and dad, two of the kids, all were wearing purple LeBron Laker jerseys, and then one of the other kids was wearing the yellow LeBron Lakers jersey. But these they were all in their teens or early 20s.
If you got a family of five and you're all wearing basketball jerseys, you should at least get one for each of the starting lineup.
Yeah, they could.
Like a Rondo and
Lance Stevenson.
Lance Stevenson,
LeVar Ball,
Nick Van Exel.
Come on, aren't you on the bandwagon, Walt? You should know this.
I'm not all the way on.
Yeah, early season.
Yeah.
What's next week's episode?
No one knows.
Yeah, we had a question from a listener, and they actually wanted to know some of the ideology behind glassware. And since we don't have a new beer to talk about next week, we're going to do glassware for your beers.
So if your question is that good, you might get a whole episode dedicated to it.
Yeah, we'll probably recap the big Halloween party.
So Maggie, thanks for the question. Everybody, thanks for listening. And Dan, thanks for the half-flat beard crumbs. I loved it.
It was delicious.
I'm glad I get down.
Come on down, get yourself some beer crumbs.
Yeah.
Get that beer crumbs.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, everybody. It's time for the holiday spirit and the holiday season and joyous New Year and holiday festivities. And
all that was things. Captain Salty Beer Crumbs talking there.
So
fire up the Yule Log.
Yeah, see you down here. 424.
Fire up that Yule Log.
West Town Street. Tip your bartenders.
Fire up that Yule Log, man.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We got to tune out.
Ho, 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 ho.
Ha,